When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
If you release wastewater directly into the environment, things get very smelly very fast.
Imagine, I can't even, if the entire city of New York just dumped it out the window of their apartment.
Could you imagine, like, look out below! Hey, Science Pals, welcome back to the Random Theory Podcast. I'm Grace.
And I'm Josh.
And together we discover science.
Ooh, that one was short this week.
It was short.
Short and sweet and to the point. Yeah.
We don't really discover science. We discover the topics and science.
We talk about the science in the everyday world.
Yes. We will never say that in an opening, though.
No. Are you kidding me? No way.
I love that each week it's something different.
So how you doing? Is New York still apocalyptic?
It is not. That we have blue skies. I can see blue sky today. I'm going to a Yankees game today because everything was like rescheduled and moved around. So
sure. Well, that's great that it's not like a smoky mess there.
Scary place.
Yeah. Also, I feel like we talked about this in the last one a little bit, but just like if any of our listeners are in Eastern Canada, we hope you're doing well and hope you are safe.
Sending lots of thoughts and positivity your way because that's scary. So scary. Yeah. Should we get into some ratings and reviews?
You know, I think we should.
I like it. Yay.
I've got an email.
All right.
And it's actually a correction, a little correction from a previous podcast.
Okay. I'm here for that. What you got?
And so I wanted to read it just because, you know, let people know, hey, we don't get things right all the time.
No, we don't. But we're trying. That's the thing about science is you can be wrong and someone can correct you and be like, actually, blah, blah, blah. What you got?
Totally. Totally. This comes from our buddy Kurt, who was the cop. I don't know if you remember Kurt.
Yes. That
listens to our podcast. But he was referring to the coding podcast we did.
Okay.
I guess in it, I think you had said something about like spending 10 minutes a day was this much coding.
Yeah, Kurt, whatever. I realized afterwards my math on that was way off.
Okay, so that is what he just said. Just wanted to let you know in case you haven't figured it out yet. Grace's math was a little off.
He's being kind. It's a lot off.
It is pretty off. And it went, I didn't even notice this. I didn't even like, whatever. He said, you took 10 minutes times 365, which is 3,650, and divided 3,650 by 24 hours in a day, but you forgot to take the 3,650 and divide that by 60 to give you about 60 hours, then divide that by 24 to give you about 2.5 days.
Yeah. So I definitely forgot, like, if I was looking at it, my units there definitely would not have lined up and matched up properly.
Yeah.
Thank you, Kurt.
So yeah, I mean, you know, thank you, Kurt, the cop, for pointing that out. Like I said, I just want to read it, let people know that we know we are wrong often.
We always make mistakes. I'm always going to make a mistake. It's going to be fine. Especially math on the fly. That was straight up like math on the fly.
Well, you know, math is hard. But yeah, thank you, Kirk, for writing in. Still a little hurt that you didn't talk about the high-speed pursuit thing.
Or pulled someone over while listening to our podcast.
I want to know about that. I think both of us want to know. Yeah.
Yes, very much so. All right. I got our podcast topic from today.
All right. What you got? What you got?
It says, hi. And it's by Bruh.
Bruh.
That's an angel.
Bruh angel.
Bruh angel. Okay. It says, hi, Grace and Josh. They spelled my name with an S.
Yeah, I see that.
Hi, Grass and Josh.
Hi, grass.
I just started watching your pod today, and I think it's awesome and super interesting. Oh my gosh. Welcome to the Random Theory.
Yeah.
Here's my idea. Where does sewage go? I know it goes into the sewer, but what happens after that?
Ho, ho, ho. That's a great question.
Well, bruh, Angel.
Bruh.
Welcome.
Yeah, welcome. First and foremost.
To the Science Pals.
Yeah.
We're basically a bunch of, I don't even know what we are, but here we go.
We are two monkeys in a trench coat. Actually, if you caught the last episode, we're two chickens.
Yeah, we are two. We are officially two chickens in a trench coat.
We're two chickens in a trench coat. And we talk about science.
We do. So. Somehow we're entrusted to do that.
Sewage. This is going to be an interesting episode. I can already tell.
You know we love to talk about bodily fluids and sounds here on the podcast.
Oh my goodness.
I'm excited. We're going to jump into a sewer, magic school bus style, right after this break.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So this is what happens after you flush the toilet, aka where does the poop go? This is a great question.
It is. This feels like something that everyone, you know, you take for granted.
This feels like the question we used to ask of like, how much poop can there be?
Sure.
Yeah. How much poop can there be on Earth?
It's a great question.
It is a great question. I don't know where poop goes. Like, truthfully, like, I don't know. Like, this really, I tried to do a lot of research on it, but I don't really know where poop goes. It just kind of disappears.
You just flush it and then you never think about it again.
Yeah.
So, which I will say, yeah, this is like totally something that people take for granted because that's how it goes. As long as, you know, obviously we're making the assumption very like, as long as you're in a developed nation that
place.
Has a sewer system, you don't have to think about it. You flush it and it's gone and you never think about it again.
So the New York sewer system is absolutely screwed, by the way.
Really?
Yeah,
really?
We're going to talk about it a little later, but we are basically swimming in hot water up here in New York.
Hot poopy water?
Hot poopy water.
Oh, no.
All right. So every time you flush your toilet or you wash something down the sink drain, you are creating sewage.
Okay.
Doesn't just have to be poop. Also known in the a polite society, which is not here on the podcast, it's called wastewater. We are not calling it wastewater. We're calling it poop water, sewage, pee water, anything.
You know what?
But wastewater.
We don't sugarcoat things here.
No.
Okay, we tell it like it is.
It's like when we were in Iceland, they call it a water closet for the bathroom.
Oh sure.
And
sure.
I'm like, where's the toilet?
You come in with your southern accent. You say, "Hey, where's the crapper?
Where's the crapper? I need to go crap."
We're two sentences in.
Wow, literally.
Okay.
Okay, so let's get it together. One question that many people might ask is, why not simply dump this wastewater onto the ground outside the house or into a nearby stream?
Yeah.
Which, if you're asking that question, you've obviously never smelled your own poop.
Yeah.
Do you want to be the one that dumps your own poop? Mommy and daddy are not doing it for you.
And then also, do you want to live in a place where your poop is just outside your house?
Yeah, or when it like rains. What if you don't get it right? Now you're going to have poopy rainwater that you can't drink running back into where you live. I don't know. Okay, anyway. Sure. There are three main things about wastewater that make it something you don't want to release into the environment.
Okay.
Obviously, number one, it stinks.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you release wastewater directly into the environment, things get very smelly very fast.
Imagine, if the entire city of New York just dumped it out the window of their apartment.
Could you imagine, like, look out below?
That city would be, like, uninhabitable. Like, you couldn't live there.
No, it already smells terrible here during the summertime. Like, hot poop and garbage smells already, so I can't even imagine. Like,
well, and like, I don't know. Just pee.
Well, people pee and poop already on the streets here, and it smells bad. So we want more. Like, no, thank you. It also contains harmful bacteria. So human waste naturally contains coliform bacteria, which is E. coli, essentially, and other bacteria that can cause diseases. And once water becomes infected with these bacteria, it becomes a health hazard.
Mm, no good.
Yeah, that's why you always want to be upstream, not downstream.
Yeah.
It also contains suspended solids and chemicals that affect the environment. So, for example, wastewater, poop water, contains nitrogen and phosphates that, being fertilizers, encourage the growth of algae. And excessive algae growth can block sunlight and foul the water. So wastewater contains organic materials that bacteria in the environment will start decomposing. And when they do, these bacteria consume oxygen in the water, then resulting in a lack of oxygen that then kills the fish.
Ooh.
Yeah.
No good. No good.
Nope. Not good.
Speaking of algae, this is like a little side thing. Did you see that like giant mass of algae that floated ashore in Florida recently?
I did a snappy science on it a while ago when it first like all started.
Did you really?
Yeah, I talked about
the flesh-eating bacteria or whatever.
No, that was not a part of it at that time.
Oh, so that, I guess, is a new update.
That's a new development.
As it hit the shore of Florida, they're saying it contains a large amount of flesh-eating bacteria.
We love that.
That was news from maybe 2 weeks ago. I haven't really kept up with it. I don't know what they've done.
Yeah, that's new for me. I knew there was a giant algae bloom and that Florida was basically saying like, hey, this is not good. There's a lot going on here. And that it was being monitored, but I did not know that it had flesh-eating bacteria in it.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense. Like dead fish get caught in it and stuff, or like fish get caught in it and die. And so it makes sense that like something would develop there.
Just crazy. All kinds of bad bacteria chilling. Real in that bad. Algae,
that's sketchy.
Well, there's your update. Anyone in Florida, let us know. Also, don't go near it.
Don't go near it, please.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the urban wastewater system.
Okay.
So the urban poop water systems are needed in densely populated areas so that you don't have to deal with your neighbor's poop.
I'm good with that.
Yeah, I don't need to see my neighbor's poop. In ideal environments, sewer systems are completely gravity fed.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, meaning that the pipes slope downwards from the source, which would be your toilet, or if we're talking original source, you.
Okay.
To the wastewater treatment plant. And this is done because the wastewater has a lot of solid in it, which makes it rather hard to pump out. So wastewater also has a lot of bacteria and chemicals, like we talked about before. So when we push it through the turbulent environments like pumps, it can create dangerous and deadly gases like hydrogen sulfide.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So we can't just like pump it. It just has to naturally slide.
It just flows along. It just goes with the flow.
Yeah, literally.
I had never really thought about that because I always assumed that there was some sort of like pressure system.
That moved it along. I
mean? That moved it along.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can't have those deadly gases getting created.
No. So sewer systems are basically wonders of the modern infrastructure. So back in the olden days, cities had open sewers where waste flowed through open canals on city streets.
Oh my gosh.
So when we were in Iceland, we actually went on a food tour and they showed us one of the streets that it used to just be an open wastewater area.
Oh really?
Okay. A canal into the ocean.
Was it still kind of nasty?
No, they covered it up and sealed it because they said it was so smelly and bad that people just wouldn't come over over there.
I can't even imagine what that would be like.
No, but today we are much more civilized and we transport our waste underground in large pipes.
Yeah, well, yeah. We have pipes now. We're not slumming it with the street pipes.
Yeah, we're fancy now. So sewer systems are so necessary to modern plumbing. So every time you flush a toilet or a sink or take a shower, that liquid waste of varying chemical makeups have to be transported and properly treated.
Yes.
I mean, you could just flush it into a septic tank, but those tanks require maintenance and come with a host of other issues when integrated into the mass of modern cities.
Like, I've heard of people that have septic tanks, you know, when they live out.
My family has one. We have a septic tank in North Carolina. Yeah.
Really?
It's monitored closely.
That's the scary thing is it's like you basically just have like a bomb underground.
Kind of poop, you know? Yeah.
Poop bomb.
Our septic tank is in our front yard, as a lot of them are. And it's checked twice a year to make sure it's not leaking.
Sure.
Or backed up.
Yeah. And then somebody has to like come and empty it, right?
Yes, they do. I think they actually... Our septic tank hasn't been emptied. If it has, I've not been aware of it. Okay. Put that way.
Maybe that's only on like smaller size one. Like I assume if you have like a really large one, it doesn't have to really get emptied that often.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Well, it just seems like an interesting thing. I don't know how I would feel about living with one.
With a septic tank?
Yeah. Just, you know, just having that. I mean, having that thought of like, if it busts open and then I just have sewer leaking into the ground around my house.
Yeah, I think the other thing is like ours is monitored very closely as well because we have a well also. So well water is not close to our sewer, but like kind of close, if that makes sense.
Right. It's enough that it would be a big problem
if it leaked. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about the three different types of modern sewer system. So there's a sanitary sewer, which is called a foul sewer. There's storm sewers, which are called surface water sewers. And you and I see those on the streets and around different places. And there's combined sewers, which obviously combined sewers, you know, everything is combined.
Everything's combined. Those two together. Yeah.
Yeah. And that is with the combined sewers, they use a single pipe to carry both wastewater and storm runoff into the wastewater plants.
Okay.
And those aren't used very much anymore because when it rains, a lot of the systems can't handle both the surface water and wastewater. And this causes the sewer to overflow.
Oh yeah, I've like heard and seen video of sewer water flooding out of like the storm drains.
Yes, that would be in New York City.
That's a New York City situation?
Yes, it is.
Right on. Okay.
It's great. But yeah, so now because of this, new systems separate storm water and sanitary sewers.
Gotcha.
So
yeah.
Both the wastewater from buildings and the storm runoff water flow into the same pipe. So during the dry weather, they combine wastewater and storm water flow towards the wastewater treatment plants and not into the river.
Yeah.
So like you said, the increased runoff water combined with the wastewater from buildings is too much for the pipes to handle, especially in the wet season. The result of it is that some of it spills into the river.
Oh, no.
So those are called overflow vents, which is bad. Bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
So in other words, basically during extremely wet weather, combined sewers are dumping raw sewage and industrial waste into rivers and bodies of water.
Sounds great.
Go team. All I can say is go team.
All right.
This results in contaminating drinking water and other types of environmental damage. And in some cases, it might even be necessary to boil water before it's safe to drink or use.
Yeah.
We had a water boil in effect in New York after a big storm one time.
Really?
Yeah. I remember that. We had to boil our water because they found E. coli in it. Which means they found poop, which also like in New York City, it like would not shock me that we have E. coli in our water, like more than you should. Like you're not supposed to have any, but it wouldn't shock me because like we have so many rats here and bugs and bleh, things like.
It's just a lot of stuff crammed into a little area.
Yeah.
Is all kind of having, there's a lot of disease.
Yeah. I'm like, maybe I should be boiling my water every day that I drink.
You know, maybe you should. Maybe you should.
What's even scarier is that when these overflow events happen,
yeah,
the plant is not able to treat the wastewater properly. Like, okay, what water does get there, they can't treat it properly.
It's all bad.
Yeah, it's all bad. And even worse, during these extreme severe weather events, the combined sewers, we're basically just crapping on combined sewers right now and how terrible they are. But
crapping on.
They can even cause wastewater, including raw sewage.
Yeah.
To be backed up into inhabited buildings.
Oh, no.
Could you imagine?
I'd probably have to move, I think.
Raw sewage being thrown back up out of your toilet.
Yeah.
Or out of the sink or whatever,
like
it may
drain,
be.
Probably, yeah. Like a shower drain or something. Bathtub. Yeah. Yeah, I'd probably just have to move after that. I couldn't live my life.
I would leave New York City if that ever happened to me. I would be gone so fast, it's insane. So let's talk about these sanitary sewers now that we have completely decided that combined sewers are...
Yeah, it was a bad idea. Whoever thought of that, shame on them.
That feels like the situation where Patrick's trying to move Bikini Bottom from the worm and it's like, let's put it all over here.
Just take it and push it over there.
Yeah, feel like it was a good idea.
It does feel like that, yeah.
Okay, so now let's talk about these sanitary sewers. They carry wastewater from homes and businesses to wastewater treatment plants, and they consist of pipes, manholes, plumbing stations, and their role is to maintain water quality because, you know, it's necessary for public health.
Sure, yeah.
All right, so let's talk about how this works. We're back to flushing the toilet.
Okay, we're back at the source.
We're back at source. When you flush the toilet or wash dishes in the kitchen sink, that water is carried away from your home or business through relatively small pipes to the sewer main in the street or to your septic system. And the pipes that take waste from your home to the sewer main are only large enough to remove toilet paper and human waste.
Right. Don't flush anything else.
If you flush anything else, you're making a big mistake.
It's going to be, eventually, it might not hurt you, but eventually it's going to hurt somebody in a really big way.
Yeah, you will clog it. This is literally why you're not allowed, for women to flush tampons, because it literally acts as a clog.
Yeah.
Don't do it. Throw them in the trash can. If you're a tampon flusher, don't.
Don't pour any sort of oil down the drain. That's
oh my
bad.
Gosh, no.
That is so bad.
Do people do that?
Dude, I mean, if you have if you're frying something or whatever, or even, I feel like even if you are, say you cook up some bacon or something that's really oily.
Yeah.
You should not, you gotta let that cool, scrape it out of the pan first into the trash and then wash the pan.
Yeah, I've never put oil down the sink.
No, you should not. Otherwise, that stuff is going to just congeal further down the line. And
make the pipe even smaller.
Bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's bad.
Jeez. Okay, so no oil, no tampons. Got it?
There you
good.
Go.
Yeah. There you go.
Okay.
So from there, it continues on until it reaches a wastewater treatment plant where the wastewater is treated so as to remove pollutants before it returns to the environment.
Nice.
Things that are non-biodegradable that are flushed, like sanitary wipes, this interferes with the public wastewater system, causing blockages and everything, and it halts the process at the plant.
No good.
So don't be that person that messes it up for all of us.
You never want to halt the plant.
Don't halt the plant. Yeah. Actually, usually sanitary sewers use gravity to carry the wastewater
away. So we're still on gravity.
Yeah. However, in the low-lying areas, pumps are sometimes used when the wastewater needs to reach an area that's at a higher elevation. So if it's got to go uphill.
Sure. You can't just, gravity ain't going to pull it uphill. So.
Yeah. If you ever wondered how to access the sewer, it is through those manholes in the ground, and they are used for routine maintenance and repair.
You know, I haven't ever wanted to access the sewer. But
no, I'm scared of the sewer here in New York.
I mean, there's probably rats and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles down there. So, yeah.
Yucky. And then cleanouts located on your property provide access to the part of the sanitary sewer that goes from your home to the sewer main in the street. So okay. I think that's what my family has, is we have like our septic tank.
Yeah.
But there's like a sewer main in the street.
Oh, gotcha.
So if okay. there's a blockage in the pipe, it can be accessed via cleanout.
So that's where if you cause a massive blockage to your system with your yep. oil and tampons and wipes, that's where it's going to be.
Yeah, they're going to clean. They're going to be like, well, yeah. here's the problem.
To, yeah, let's bust open the clean out and
yeah.
clean it out.
All right, now we got our, we've got our storm sewers. And this one's really quick. This one's like very, very easy. And then we're getting into how you get the drinking water, because all of this is basically recycled.
Yeah, we're reusing
the poop water.
Poop water. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so your storm sewer, also called surface sewers, carry rainwater and melting snow from roofs and roads and channel into streams, rivers, and other bodies of water.
Nice.
So here's how it works. So when it rains or snow melts or whatever it may be, water enters a storm sewer via manholes, pipes, storm drains, inlets, open ditches, etc. And this water is then carried away until it eventually flows directly into streams, rivers, or waterways without having to be treated. This is why you should never put any kind of hazardous waste down a storm drain.
Yes.
Like if you see the thing on the side of the road, don't do it. So this includes things like paint, solvents, used motor oil, and cleaning liquids. This damages the environment and will kill fish, deer, bears, bobcats, cats, bear. Dogs. I don't know. Anything that eats and drinks water.
Who the heck is dumping used motor oil down a storm drain? What is that?
I don't know. It wouldn't shock me if someone on this podcast is like, I've done that before.
Well,
don't be proud of it.
Don't do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is awful.
So storm sewers can also get clogged with leaves, litter, and other debris.
Yeah.
And when this happens, the storm sewer will flood.
Yeah, that's no good. You don't want that.
Let's get into these water treatment steps of how the poopy water becomes drinkable not water. Poop. Yeah, not poop water.
Okay. Cool.
How we go from water to not poop water.
Nice.
So first step.
Yeah.
Coagulation.
Oh, sure. That's like a weird, that's like a gross word, I feel like.
It falls in the category of moist.
It's definitely in the moist category.
Coagulation.
Yeah.
This is often the first step in water treatment. And during coagulation, chemicals with a positive charge are added to the water. And the positive charge neutralizes the negative charge of dirt and other dissolved particles in the water. When this occurs, the particles bind with the chemicals to form slightly larger particles. Common chemicals used in this step include specific types of salt, aluminum, or iron.
Fascinating.
Which makes sense, because remember our last podcast that we did where we talked about metals? Like, to me, this makes a lot of sense because salt bonds really well. It creates a nice covalent bond.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Was it covalent? I think it was covalent.
I think it was covalent, yeah.
Yeah. Aluminum loves to bond with things. It has that extra floating free electron, and then iron is the exact same way.
Yeah.
Next, we have flocculation.
Sure.
Flocculation is the general mixing of the water to form larger and heavier particles called flocs. So often water treatment plants will add additional chemicals during the step to help flocs form.
So basically those two are just working in tandem to take a bunch of water with a lot of little pieces in it and slowly like make those pieces bigger and bigger coming together.
And basically wants them to like sink to the bottom.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorting. We're basically sorting water, if you will.
Sure. We're sorting the stuff in water.
Yes, yes, yeah. Thank you. Basically being like, yes, no, yes, no, yes. Next, we move to sedimentation. This is one of the steps water treatment plants use to separate out solids from the water. During sedimentation, flocs settle to the bottom of the water because they're heavier than the water. Wow. I'm so glad we got ahead of that.
Nice. We knew.
We did. Next, we go into filtration. This is actually one of the most important steps here.
Sure.
So once the flocks have settled to the bottom of the water, the clear water on top is filtered to separate additional solids from the water. And during filtration, the clean water passes through filters that have different pore sizes and made of different materials. So there's a sand level, a gravel level, a charcoal level, a whatever level. Like, there's all these different filters.
You know, this is ringing a bell to something we did last year.
It is. It is. It's ringing a very large bell in my head.
A large bell where Grace drank some nasty pond water that we got.
I didn't die.
Using similar-ish, small-scale-ish steps like these.
We did. It was really cool, actually.
Yeah, it was.
These filters remove dissolved particles and germs such as dust, chemicals, parasites, bacteria, viruses, and activated carbon filters also remove any bad odors from the water.
Important.
Very important. Yeah. Water treatment plants can use a process called ultrafiltration also in addition to or instead of traditional filtration. And during ultrafiltration, the water goes through a filter membrane with very small pores. And this filter only lets through water and other small molecules.
Okay.
Such as salt and tiny charged molecules. That's crazy to me.
Yeah.
Do you know how small that filter is? Like, it would be drops of water coming through at a time.
Yeah.
I mean, not really, but...
I feel like if you looked at that filter, it would just look like a solid piece of whatever, you know? Like, you wouldn't be able to tell that it has little holes.
Yeah, it would be insane. Next, you have reverse osmosis, and this is another filtration method that removes additional particles from the water. And the water treatment plant often use reverse osmosis when treating recycled water, which is AKA reused water.
Yeah.
AKA salt water.
Sure. Yeah. So
it cleans it all out. Now we have to disinfect it, obviously.
Important.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing. Just because you filter water does not mean it is safe to drink.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all. So after the water has been filtered, water treatment plants may add one or more chemical disinfectants, such as chlorine, chloramine, or chlorine dioxide, to kill any remaining parasites, bacteria, or viruses.
Very important.
I am here for it. Kill them. Yep.
Yeah.
No one needs that. And this keeps the water safe as it travels to homes and businesses. And water treatment plants will make sure the water has low levels of the chemical disinfectant before it leaves the treatment plant.
Right. You don't want like heavy chlorine water getting pumped back into.
But the remaining disinfectants kill the germs living in the pipes between the water treatment plant and your tap. So it's important that they stay in there.
That's fascinating. I didn't even think about that.
No, I didn't think about that either. Like how important it is for that water to stay clean before it gets to you.
Wow.
Because water grows bacteria so fast.
Yeah. I'm like naive thinking, well, the pipes are obviously clean.
But, right.
Well, no, you got to have something to clean them and it's chemical in the water. Wow, that's interesting.
And we're not over here just like scrubbing the pipes.
Nah, can't be bothered.
Can't be bothered to soap up the pipes every now and then, you know?
Get out your big brush and just get in there. Yeah.
Like, you know, the little pipe we use to clean straws?
Yeah.
Just stick one of those down, like the whole thing.
Just a giant, like 2 mile long one. Sure.
Oh, geez. Okay, yeah. So in addition to adding chlorine or chloramine or chlorine dioxide, water treatment plants also disinfect water using ultraviolet light or ozone. And UV light or ozone work well to disinfect water in the treatment plant, but these disinfection methods do not continue to kill germs as the water travels through the pipes between the treatment plant and the tap.
Sure.
I think it's also really interesting that water treatment plants also commonly adjust the water pH. And add fluoride after the disinfection step. So adjusting the pH improves the taste and reduces the corrosive breakdown of the pipes. Because think about that. We have to worry about the pipes breaking down tier two.
Dude, what a whole thing.
Yeah.
Like just pumping water. There's so much that goes into it that I didn't even think about here.
But like think like water rusts things so quickly.
Oh, yeah. Well, and if the water has, wait, which way is pH? Is higher acidic?
Yeah.
I don't know.
One is acidic.
one is a lower pH.
Yeah.
Is going to be more acidic. So if you had water with a low pH, that's just going to eat away at pipes as mm-hmm. it goes through it.
It's so bad. It's crazy yeah. to even think about.
I mean, I'm glad someone's thinking about it. So.
It could not be us.
Couldn't be us. No, not at all.
Also, drinking water with the right amount of fluoride keeps teeth strong and reduces cavities. A lot of people are against fluoride in their water. For me, I'm just kind of like, it be how it be.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's my thing. As long as it's not like through the sky high, like amount sure. of fluoride in there, like, sure, okay, yeah. fine, like, whatever. Yeah. Especially if it's keeping my water clean and safe and not letting sure. it grow bacteria, like, I'm all about it. Like, give me the yeah. fluoride.
Yeah.
We also have to talk about surface water because it is collected on the ground or in a stream, river, lake, reservoir, or ocean. And groundwater is really important here because it's located below the surface of the earth in spaces between rock and soil. And water treatment plants differ by community. So water may be treated in a different community depending on the quality of the source of water that enters the treatment plant. And the water that enters the treatment plant is most often either surface water or groundwater. And surface water typically requires more treatment and filtration than groundwater because lakes and rivers and streams contain more sediment. But it contains more germs and chemicals and toxins than groundwater.
Yeah.
Some water supplies may contain radionuclides, okay. which are small radioactive particles.
Oh, you don't want that.
Nope. Specific chemicals such as nitrates or toxins, such as those made by cyanobacteria.
Oh, also don't want that.
Nope, do not want that. Still bad. And there's specialized methods to control or remove these contaminants. And it can also be part of the water treatment.
Oh, good. Okay.
So if you want to learn more about the water treatment in your area, you can actually go to the EPA's groundwater and drinking water website and learn about the filtration and what they do at your water plant in your area.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. This is basically just like an overview of like everyone goes through these steps, but you know, you can go find out what chemicals they're actually using for your specific area because it differs kind of place to place.
So important. Like this is totally one of those things. I mean, I love this kind of topic because it's very much, we were just talking about this today or yesterday in a meeting, but it's very much something that is in everyone's life.
Yeah, everyone flushes the toilet.
Everyone, yeah, like everyone, or like washes their hands in a sink. And
yeah,
it, you know, and it, but no one thinks about well, but where does that go? What and how does that work?
Yeah,
and so yeah, it's fascinating to hear about. And then all the stuff. I mean, like I said, I was not kidding when it was like talking about adding chlorine to disinfect on the way back to somebody's sink.
On the like, way back to you.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, because like I feel like people always freak out and they're like, there's all this, there's chloride and fluoride in my water. And it's like, yeah. Well, there needs to be. It's not like we're trying to kill you and poison you. Like there just actually needs to be because the water has to come back to you. So think yeah. about that next time you're complaining about something.
Well, yeah, it's like if
there's
it
a
wasn't
rhyme and
there,
a reason someone's doing yeah. something.
Yeah, if it wasn't there, then you could get sick. So,
yeah, no yeah. one needs that. No one needs
no
that.
One. No one. Well, bruh, Angel, thank you so much.
10 out of 10 topic, and I hope you're a science pal for life.
Yeah, yeah. This was, you said you were listening today. That was in March. I hope you're still listening.
Yeah.
I hope you hear this, and then I hope you're just locked in forever.
Locked in forever, because this is a great topic. I really enjoyed it.
So did I. I knew it was going to be a little poopy mess, but, you know, it was good.
It was good. It was really interesting. I was curious. I had a great time. Guys, if you have a science topic or something that you're curious about in the world and want us to do the research, explain it, and have fun with it, make sure you leave it in a rating and review. Give us a 5-star review. Send this podcast to your friends, cousins, aunts, uncles, someone you think will find this interesting because that really helps out the podcast more than you know.
And if you don't have Apple Podcast or you don't want to leave a rating and review, you can send us an email at randomtheorypod@gmail.com.
We love your emails.
Love the emails. We'll read those here as well. And we'll take podcast topics from those. But yeah, I think that's it.
Also, if you name an animal after us, make sure you send us a picture of you and the animal.
Absolutely.
That was
and
awesome.
if you don't know what we're talking about, go back to last week's episode and listen to it.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Absolutely fantastic.
Amazing. I love it. All right, science pals, right. Have a great and curious week. We will see you next Monday. Bye.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.